life, Lord, in my song, Lord, in my work, Lord, in my family, Lord, in my church, Lord. Be glorified. That's what this has been about. Introduce to you Stephen Twigg.
It's been a nice journey. This is just the beginning. The lay renewal, church renewal journey, this first step is about connecting. And I understand you already have a program here in the church called Connections. But it's about finding out who your family is, your church family. You sit over here all this time, you guys sit over here all this time, and you don't talk. And you're missing out on such a wonderful thing. And it's great to see you this morning doing just that. And this weekend, you've shared with each other. And I hope that the one thing that you take away from this is that they're just normal people, just like yourselves. And they're hurting, just like you are. They have triumphs and they have tragedies, just like you do. Each one of us share in those things. And if you learn to work together as a family, as a body of Christ, God will reveal to you a need that someone else has that you can fill, and vice versa. And that's what this renewal is about, is you get renewed in the Spirit of the Lord working through you in your community. I want to share with you a verse out of Acts chapter 1:8. Most of you know the verse by heart. But ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Let's take a look at that for just a minute. Jerusalem. Where is Jerusalem? It's right here. And right out there. Judea is the surrounding communities. West Union, Walhalla, Seneca. Those places. Samaria. State of South Carolina. State of Georgia. State of North Carolina. That's your Samaria. Uttermost parts of the earth. That's obvious. Nicaragua, Haiti, Africa, what have you. But you can start right here in Jerusalem. That's the first step. Now many of you are kind of wondering, well, how do I do that? Well, that's what the second weekend's about. You find out what your gifts are. Find out where you're talented and where you're gifted. And you put them together. And then you use that. And that, for me, has been the biggest eye-opening thing. I mean, for the longest time, I just went along warming a nice pew, thinking, okay, I'm a good Christian. I'm listening. I'm singing. But I wasn't doing. And God calls us to do. Not just sit there to warm a pew, but to get up and do something. Gee, there's a song that rings in my head. God called us to do something. God, why don't you save those that are, you know, hurt and poor? And he said, I did. I created you. Didn't get any clearer or plainer than that. I'd like to call Bobby and Wanda to come and share their testimony and how God is using them.
Thank you for having us this weekend. It's been great to get to meet so many of you. And you have a wonderful church. And as you may have heard, we knew your pastor, Ken, from years ago at Spring Valley Baptist in Columbia. And it's been great to renew those ties. Now, testimony is about not what we've done, but about what God has done. And looking back at my life, God did for me the great gift of putting me in a Christian home where we went to church every week. And I heard about Jesus, and I knew about him, but I didn't really know him. Not as you know a person. And then God did for me the great gift of letting me go to a concert that a Christian group was doing when I was 13 years old. I still don't remember how I got there, but I was there and I heard the good news that though I was a sinner and was separated from God because of my sin, that God made a way for me to be restored to a relationship through the death of Jesus on the cross. And I turned away from my sin, I turned to God, and put my trust in him through what Jesus did for me on the cross. And that's when I became a believer. And from that time on, God has helped me to grow. And yes, like you've heard, there have been ups and downs. But God all the way has been guiding and continuing to do for me. He did for me the gift of giving me a service as a family doctor. And I've been doing that for about 34 years now. And that has been a ministry, a calling, a service. But more recently, Wanda and I had gone to a lay renewal. We haven't been to a lot of them. Yours might be about the fifth one I've been to. But we were at a lay renewal for the Prayer Empowerment Weekend. And we've gone there to the Tri-City Baptist Church in Conover, North Carolina. And that church is not a traditional church like yours. They don't have the traditional church building. It's more like a giant warehouse-shaped building. But they've got this little prayer chapel that they've built right outside their main worship center. And it looks just like that little old country church. Beautiful little building. And everybody said, you've got to go see their prayer building before you leave. So at the end of our time there, as we were heading out to the car, Wanda reminded me, she said, we've got to go see that prayer building. So we walked over there, opened the door, expecting it to be empty, and much to our surprise, there was a whole room of 15 or 20 people there, and they said, come on in, we're going to Haiti, and we need a doctor and a nurse. Now, Wanda's the more vocal of the two of us. And what did you say?
I said, well, I'm not a nurse.
And we kind of made our little apology for bursting into their meeting and kind of quickly scooted out and walked back to the car and sat down in the car. And then I just, conviction came over me.
He looked like he had the flu.
Yeah. And I said to Wanda, we've got to go back and hear more about that. Now, we've been on mission trips before. It wasn't like that was a crazy thing for us to do, but it was just the shock of it and, not being prepared for it. So we went back, and one of the first things they told us was, we had a meeting the other night, and we said to the team leader, well, have we got a doctor?
Because it was a medical mission trip they were taking.
Yeah. Yep.
I have to add in these details because he forgets some.
Yeah, yeah. And they'd been doing this medical mission trip for several years, but this year they had no doctor. Now, just to let you know the setting also, this was right after the big earthquake in Haiti in early 2010. And we were there a couple of months after that at the church. And so they had said to their team leader, do we have a doctor? And he had to say, no, we don't. But, maybe one will come to our meeting. So that's what they told us, trying to put a little bit of pressure on us. And we had something else big going on that year. Our daughter was getting married, and that was happening
in May.
And so this was about February or March. And so we said, we've got this wedding coming up. When is this trip? Well, and it was in April, so just a little bit before the wedding, but time enough. So we said, okay, we'll pray about it. And we went home, we prayed about it, we went. In fact, we were also able to get a nurse practitioner in my office to go with us. And more amazing things happened as the trip went on. Wanda and I do a little bit of drama, just like some of you, like I hear a lot of you do. This church did a passion play like you do, and they actually took their passion play with them to Haiti and did a little condensed version of it. And we were able to participate in them, with them in doing that. Our nurse practitioner was not only a medical person, but she was a singer, and she got to sing on the trip. And we just saw God do great things. We got to go back with them again the following year and do a much bigger version of their passion play in Haiti. So that maybe that would give you a vision of taking your production on the road. We went back one more time with the North Carolina Baptist to do a medical clinic in Haiti. And you've got to wonder, with all that's happened to Haiti this week, what God might be calling you or us to do again. But my testimony is, look at all that God has done. Look how He fits the pieces together. And we just give Him praise and glory for that.
There was another lay renewal experience about 10 years ago. I don't know if any of you have experienced this or not, but has there ever been a time when you heard someone's name and just hearing their name brought this ugh in your spirit? You know, like, I can't forget what they did to me. I can't forget what they said to me. Well, that's where I was. And I knew what the Bible said. If you look in Matthew chapter 5, it says, "Therefore, if you're offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift." And I always zeroed in on that, your brother has something against you. Well, that person, I hadn't done anything wrong, so they didn't have anything against me. So I figured I didn't need to go to them. They needed to come to me. So I kind of gave myself an out there. And then in chapter 6 it says, "Forgive our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors." So I knew I needed to forgive. And so I prayed. I prayed earnestly. I prayed many times, and I said, "Lord, I forgive them." It just wouldn't go away. And I didn't know what to do. I had prayed. I didn't know what to do. And so finally I went to my Sunday school teacher and I said, "Here's the situation. What do I do?" And they said, "Maybe you need to go to them." Well, that wasn't what I wanted to hear, because I didn't want to go to them. I don't think they even knew anything that I felt this way or that anything had happened. It had happened years before. But I'd been carrying it all that time. And the morning of lay renewal, I think it was the Sunday morning, God had been working on me about this. And I came to realize that I had done something wrong as well. And that is that I had held a grudge about it. So let me encourage you. If there's someone, when you hear their name, you react inwardly, even if you don't show it outwardly. Go to them and make it right and ask their forgiveness for you holding a grudge, because that's also a sin. Thank you.
At this time, would Scott and all of your chairpersons and your entire renewal team please stand up? If you had any part of the renewal weekend, no matter how big or small, stand up. Church, look around. This is your team. Thank you. Personally, I thank each and every one of you for all of your hard work. I know we've briefly mentioned it before, but I want you to know that we appreciate David and Jean allowing us to come into your home, a family of four. When you first sent the email to us welcoming us into your home, and I responded back to you, I told you the story about, you know, I got two daughters and I got three animals, you know, three dogs and a cat. And after I finished that email, I thought, I wonder if she thinks we're bringing the dogs and the cat and all the family. I should probably write back. I never did. But I thank you for taking us into your home. Those of you that did host other team members, we thank you for allowing them to come into your home as well. At this time, I would like for the renewal team to please stand. I praise God for this team of people and the team of people in your church that were willing to give of their time, efforts, talent, and gifts to bring this to reality. Bob, you want to close us up?
The director of missions at our South Gatian Baptist Association, when he first came there, thought I was a pastor, and he asked me would I do the annual sermon. And I thought, well, I don't do sermons, you know. But I said, well, gosh, I've heard a bunch of sermons. I could probably do one. I'm not a pastor. Don't preach. But my pastor has a deal where he'll take one word, one letter, and all those topics will start with that letter. You know, I thought, what is that called? Huh? Alliteration? I said, well, I've heard enough of that. So I did that. I said, okay, I'll get me a sermon up. So I got me a sermon up. I used the letter E. Right, and I was sitting there waiting for him to call me up, and Phyllis looked over, and I had the word excited, encouraged, and involved. She said, honey, involved don't start with an E. So from there to here, I said, I'm going back to my testimony. I'm not going to do sermons. Those who house the visiting team, I need to tell y'all something about the visiting team. They have a little saying we have among us that the team takes back more than they bring. And we found out that things was missing from the homes they were staying in. So you might better check just to see. You did your spiritual graph last night. I don't know how many, first time you done that, maybe? How would you like yours published in the paper, in a newspaper, in a book somewhere? Most of us say no. Simon Peter had his published. Y'all remember in the scriptures when Simon Peter denied Jesus four times? Three times? Okay. Let me try this out and see here. Hold on. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to have you and shift you like wheat, but I have pleaded in prayer for you, Simon, that your faith would not fail. So when you have repented and returned to me again, strengthen and build up the faith of your brothers. Jesus Christ knew what he was going to do with Simon Peter. He knows what he's going to do with you. There's going to come a time in your life when you get too tired of putting it off and putting it off and denying him. And sometimes you say, well, I didn't deny him. There's not a one person in here last week that didn't see somebody that you could have told about Jesus. But you didn't. We deny him every time, all the time. Peter said, Lord, I'm ready to go to prison with you and even die with you. But Jesus said, Peter, before, let me tell you something. The rooster will crow tomorrow morning. The rooster will not crow tomorrow morning until you have denied me three times that you even know me. And I think that shocked Peter. It said that they arrested him, led him to the high priest's residence, and Peter followed far behind. You ever catch yourself falling far behind and not where you're supposed to be? The guards lit a fire around the courtyard around it, and they sat around, and Peter joined them there. And a servant girl noticed him in the firelight and began staring at him. And finally she said, this man is one of Jesus' followers. What a great thing to be able to say by you. Don't you wish people would just say that about you? Yeah, this is one of Jesus' followers. Peter denied it. Woman, he said, I don't even know the man. After a while, someone else looked at him and said, you must be one of them. And no man, I'm not, Peter replied. And about an hour later, someone else insisted, you must be one of Jesus' disciples because you're from Galilee too. Then Peter said, man, I don't know what you're talking about. And as soon as he said these words, the rooster crowed. At that moment, the Lord turned and looked at Peter. We sang that song a little while ago about to turn your eyes upon Jesus. I'll bet that wasn't the song he was singing. Have you ever wondered what expression Jesus had when he looked at Simon Peter after he had told him, I'll die with you and all that. Have you ever wondered what kind of expression he saw on Jesus' face? Disgust, anguish? Well, no, that's not the kind of father we have. But it says here, but Peter said, man, I don't know what you're talking about. And as soon as he said these words, the rooster crowed. And at that moment, the Lord looked at Peter, and Peter remembered what he had said, before the rooster crows tomorrow morning, you will deny me three times. And Peter left the courtyard crying bitterly. How many times is that? People, every one of us denies Christ all the time. But there's got to come a time in our life that we stop doing that. And when the Lord sends us an opportunity, we've got to see that and understand it. That's what God's put in front of us. And we can say, oh, I don't have time right now, but I think the Lord is saying, I sent one yesterday, one today, one tomorrow. When y'all leave out of the church today, you're going to see many people that you need to say something about Jesus to, about him. It said, now the guards in the charge of Jesus began mocking and beating him. They blindfolded him, and they hit him and asked, who hit you this time, prophet? And they threw all kind of sorts of terrible insults at him. That's what's being done to our Lord today. They're throwing him out of our schools. They're throwing him out of our government. They're throwing him out of everywhere. And we just sit back and don't say anything about it. We're just kind of letting it happen. There's got to come a time in God's people when they stop doing that. I'm totally convinced that it's not going to happen automatically. People, there's got to be an intentional in our lives that we're going to say, okay, from now on we won't. How many in people here would like to see God do a revival in their church? It's not going to happen automatically. There's got to be some point where we say, okay, Father, we're tired of this. We're going to change and we're going to become the people you want us to be. I thought about what does Christ look like when he looked at Jesus? What kind of expression did he have on his face? I want to show a video to you, and it's going to take this Bible right here, and in just about 5 minutes, it's going to explain this Bible. Okay? Can y'all share that now?
The words you are about to experience are true. They will change your life if you let them. For they come from the very heart of God. He loves you, and he is the Father you have been looking for all your life. This is his love letter to you. My child, you may not know me, but I know everything about you. I know when you sit down and when you rise up. I am familiar with all your ways. Even the very hairs on your head are numbered, for you were made in my image. In me you live and move and have your being, for you are my offspring. I knew you even before you were conceived. I chose you when I planned creation. You were not a mistake, for all your days are written in my book. I determined the exact time of your birth and where you would live. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. I knit you together in your mother's womb and brought you forth on the day you were born. Been misrepresented by those who don't know me. I am not distant and angry, but am the complete expression of love. And it is my desire to lavish my love on you, simply because you are my child and I am your father. I offer you more than your earthly father ever could, for I am the perfect father. Every good gift that you receive comes from my hand, for I am your provider and I meet all your needs. My plan for your future has always been filled with hope, because I love you with an everlasting love. My thoughts toward you are countless as the sand on the seashore, and I rejoice over you with singing. I will never stop doing good to you, for you are my treasured possession. I desire to establish you with all my heart and all my soul, and I want to show you great and marvelous things. If you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. Delight in me, and I will give you the desires of your heart. For it is I who gave you those desires. I am able to do more for you than you could possibly imagine. For I am your greatest encourager. I am also the Father who comforts you in all your troubles. When you are brokenhearted, I am close to you. As a shepherd carries a lamb, I have carried you close to my heart. One day, I will wipe away every tear from your eyes, and I'll take away all the pain you have suffered on this earth. I am your Father, and I love you even as I love my Son Jesus. For in Jesus, my love for you is revealed. He is the exact representation of my being. He came to demonstrate that I am for you, not against you, and to tell you that I am not counting your sins. Jesus died so that you and I could be reconciled. His death was the ultimate expression of my love for you. I gave up everything I love that I might gain your love. If you receive the gift of my Son Jesus, you receive me. And nothing will ever separate you from my love again. Come home and I'll throw the biggest party heaven has ever seen. I have always been Father, and will always be Father. My question is, will you be my child? I am waiting for you. Love, your dad. Almighty God.
He says, if you love me, you'll feed my sheep. People, he's given us a job to do. He's done everything he can do for us. He's waiting for us to become and do the people that he wants us to be. You may want to come down and pray about it, but I'm telling you, today's the day. Everybody had their hands up and said, want revival? It can start right now when we get our hearts right with Christ. It's not going to happen automatically. It ain't something you say, well, it'll happen tomorrow. No, it could happen right this minute. This church could come together like it's never been before, and God could be so pleased with his people. Because you've just seen the story that everybody out there needs to hear. And the only way they're going to hear it, we're God's mouthpiece. We're God's one that's going to tell them. And he's saying, do you love me? Feed my sheep. He's waiting on us to make that decision. Today would be a great day for you to make that decision. Would you bow your heads? Father, give us the boldness to do whatever it is your Holy Spirit's plucking at our hearts right now to do. God, don't let us have any pride that would keep us from coming down and saying, getting things right with you. Father, this might be the time that you've been waiting for, because you're our Father and we want to be your children like we're supposed to be. God, let your Holy Spirit move in a powerful, powerful way today. We ask this in your holy name. Amen. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, it has to be independently, personally. Two people can't do that together. If you're sitting with your wife now, I want you to reach over and hold her hand. Would you do that? Sometimes we can rededicate our lives. One of us might say, I think we need to do that. And you might just squeeze a hand and say, yeah, I think we need to do that together. Families can do that together. We can rededicate our lives together as a group, as a family, as a couple. I pray that squeezing that hand might tell you, your partner, how you feel about it. And maybe together you can make that decision that we all need to make.
Let's stand together, sing, worship, pray, commit. As God speaks to your heart, would you respond? God has been so good to us. I want you to be here tonight. I hope you will be. And I hope you will just let God do whatever God needs to do tonight. Thank you, Bob Foy and your wife, for putting this team together. Steve, I'm going to be praying for you here in South Carolina because we need this. We need this. I don't know how I can help, but if God moves, we'll do whatever we can. We're going to make this happen in South Carolina. Amen. Each one of you, thank you. You're a blessing that you would give up your weekend and come and be a part of our lives. We need this, and we've needed this. And I don't think people are going to let you go eat lunch real fast because they're going to want to hug your neck and love on you a little bit. And we're going to let them stay right here and let you do that. That feels like the fresh wind of God's Holy Spirit speaking. You know, it doesn't have to be a blast. It's still that still small voice. Let's pray. Father, as we stand here and we just contemplate what you've done. We replay some of the things that have been said, the questions that were asked, things that were shared from deep within our heart. Lord, your Holy Spirit has done something here that I don't know that man can explain, but it's God. And we praise you, Father. We lift your name up. You are our Heavenly Father, our God, our Lord, and our Savior. And to you we worship. So as we bring this meeting to a close, as we love on and say goodbye and then give them a meal and see them leave, prepare us for this evening. Thank you for Scott's leadership, for all the different ones who have worked so diligently behind the scenes and in the front. Lord, bless them. Thank you. But for that revival that you've begun, may that fire never go out. May our hearts be filled with your glory. And we just give you the glory for it all. So we thank you. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. God bless.